I knew I would never be the same after getting to do this project. I just knew that this was something that would change my life and my perspective on music. And it absolutely did, beyond what I even could have anticipated. It just reprioritized for me what music is about and what collaborating with people using music does, and the communication that it provides and the connection that you have, and how you can connect through your faith.
You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are recording at the LCMS convention in Phoenix, Arizona. And today we get to chat with singer, songwriter, and recording artist Erin Bode about the release of her latest collaboration that has been years in the works.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Irvine. You can learn more about Concordia University Irvine at cui.edu.
Our guest today, Erin Bode, singer, songwriter, and recording artist, and friend of KFUO. Erin, thanks so much for joining us here.
Thank you very much for having me.
You have a concert here at the LCMS convention, which is a special event for everyone here at the convention. We're going to talk about what that entails and this project. We caught up back in December, I think it was last year, to talk about this project. It was nearly, 20 years ago that you traveled with LCMS World Relief in Human Care to South Africa to do a great project there. Let's recap what happened with that, where that project started.
Well, it started sort of as a sequel to our first endeavor in South Africa, which we were invited by Pastor Matt Harrison, who at the time was in charge of LCMS World Relief in Human Care. And so he invited us to go to the Tembe School in South Africa to record with some of their incredibly talented young singers, primarily at the girls' school the first time. And that was just a wonderful, life-changing experience that really impacted me, and I know my fellow musicians and everyone that went on the trip. We were just, really changed by that experience. And so we were eager to do it again, and I was so glad that it was in the works to return and work with the boys this time. And so 2 years later, we went back and recorded with the boys, and it was just an equally wonderful but also very different experience working with boys instead of girls.
Who were you able to meet on both of these trips? Tell us about the people that you got to meet when you traveled to the Tembe School.
Yeah, well, both times we were able to spend time with the director of the school, Reinhold Niebuhr, and the students were just the most wonderful people. They were such great examples of their Christian faith and just that sort of young, enthusiastic spirit of wonderful singers, and they were great friends to each other, and you could tell that they were really eager to share what they'd been working on musically with us, and it was just a delight to collaborate with them.
When you met with the girls' choir on your first trip, and you got to hear their music, hear their singing, and collaborate with them, what are some of the things you learned from that trip that helped you prepare for the second trip? Because this isn't like walking into a studio in St. Louis or Chicago or Nashville and recording. What are some things you learned from your first trip that helped you prepare for the second trip?
I would say, especially just musically, that they knew what they were doing. They sing all the time. And so just knowing that they had their music prepared and ready to go, they could do it at the drop of a hat, and they were very eager to share it. That was something that sort of helped us to raise the bar for ourselves, I think, because we knew that when we got there, we had to be prepared too. And they really kind of, we utilized the time that we had with them really efficiently because everyone was so prepared to share music and collaborate together. So we were able to learn their music and to a certain extent, and they learn our music. And so it made collaborating with them really, relatively easy to, knowing that everybody knew what they were doing. They were ready to do it, ready to record it. And it was great.
What did you learn about the place of music in the culture of the kids at the school? Why it was so important for them to have this music that they were able to just perform for you?
Yeah. Well, primarily the kids come from a Zulu background. There are other groups that that the Temba school caters to, but primarily they were Zulu kids. So they were sharing a lot of traditional Zulu music, but a lot of gospel music that was popular in their region, South Africa. And so, you know, that was something that was just really mind expanding for us to be able to kind of drop into their culture and that world of music that was new to us. But at the same time, because music is a universal language, we found that we were able to speak to each other in ways that, you know, were really, really special ways, you know, when you can speak to each other through music.
When you're working on a single or an album here in the States, what does that process look like? And then how did that compare to this process, which was, I'm sure, a very different creative process?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you get a chance to ideally perform the music that you end up recording ahead of time. And so you've lived with it. It's kind of settled into you. But we knew that going to South Africa, we were going to be learning a lot. And so you didn't really get a chance to prepare arrangements or things like that. Those would happen sort of on the fly, being with them. And you want that collaborative process, especially in arranging songs, figuring out the best way to present them in a recording. And, you know, everyone's inspiration comes into play when you are just kind of set together in a new environment. And I think, you know, recording here, you would prepare a lot of those things in advance, or at least be prepared to be inspired in the studio. But this, you know, there's so many moving parts and elements that you don't always predict that it really just made it exciting. It wasn't it wasn't intimidating, especially the second time around. You know, we kind of knew the process, kind of how to interact with them and you know, how they, a lot of times when they get together, they're, you know, evolving their sound and working out new parts and new things as they go along. So we were just prepared to let that happen, because that was where some of the beauty came from.
Yeah. Tell us about the musicians that came with you on these trips. What were their experiences? Who were they and what were their experiences?
Yeah. Well, both times it was my band, which was comprised of Sid Rodway on bass and Adam Manis on, he brought his guitar because couldn't bring a piano. He's primarily a pianist, but
a little hard.
Yeah. And our drummer, Derek Phillips. And so this was my working band for years and years. And this was just, I mean, it was sort of like a team building exercise to all go over there and, you know, get to be in this entirely new environment and, you know, work on songs together and write songs. And the first trip that we made with the girls, we were in the process of recording an album called The Little Garden of Mine. And we were able to share some of those songs that were in the works with the girls. And, you know, they really responded well to them, and they loved learning them, and you know, they started singing along with us when we play them for them. And actually, because two of the girls from the original Temba album received scholarships to attend Concordia in Irvine, when I went to record my album The Little Garden, we recorded it in Southern California. That's where my studio was. And so I invited two of them to come and sing some harmony vocals for me on my album, which was really special to tie those two things together. It was like a real full circle moment. So that was great.
Wow. So you go back to for the second trip to meet the boys, to hear their music, and then collaborate on a project with them. What were some of the, you know, some of the pieces that came out of that? I know we're going to talk about the new release in just a little bit, but as you're sitting down, and what was it like to sit down and hear what they were singing? How did you pick out pieces to collaborate on from what they presented to you?
Yeah, well, like I mentioned earlier, they had a very different style from the girls. You know, a lot of times this was kind of fun because a lot of times they had the same songs in their repertoire, but they did them in an entirely different style. So you'd hear the boys do a version of a song and we're like, I remember that. I recognize that song. And it was because we'd heard the girls do it 2 years earlier, but they had a whole different arrangement for it. And the boys just had their own unique style and something that people can look forward to listening to on the recording is there are a couple songs where the boys use some like what I would call beatboxing kind of.
Yeah.
They do the rhythm with their mouth and then they're also doing some steps that you can hear their feet in the, you have to listen pretty carefully. But this was something that I just, it was very inspiring to see how to them, you know, these pieces were like full body experiences. Yeah. You know, they were providing the rhythm, the percussion with their feet and their mouths and singing and harmonizing. And there was a little choreography with some of them. It was just so cool to see the breadth and depth of their culture, their talent, their ability to express themselves with this music. And yeah, it was really special for us.
You learned things the first time with the girls. What were some additional things that you learned, you discovered going to the boys' school and experiencing music again in a new way with the boys?
Well, they interacted with each other entirely different than the girls did, obviously. and also, they were a wider age group because the girls were all senior girls. The boys were a span, and there were more of them. They spanned the grades of the high school. So so they had, you know, they had their relationships with each other and they did a little more arguing than the girls did, which was fine. Yeah, they worked it out amongst themselves and we just kind of wait till they were done and had made their decisions, went back and recorded stuff. But it was cool to see that kind of interaction, you know, how they collaborated with each other. And then, so.
Tell us about the space where you were recording. There. What did that look like?
We, with the boys, we recorded in their dining hall. So it had had some nice acoustic features. There was some wood in the room. And so it wasn't too live of a space. But it did have a nice atmospheric sound to it. And so we spent most of our time in that room recording. We may have ventured into some other spaces, but with the girls, we recorded in a couple different places within their chapel and also within one of their meeting rooms. And so, yeah, we got some different sonic environments represented.
How did that, has that shaped or impacted how you go about recording now? Taking the whole team on the, I was going to say on the road, but you're not driving there. I mean, there were some roads there, but, you know, traveling with your team to go record in another location. Has that changed how you approach, whether it's the creative process or the recording process? Has it impacted it in any way?
I would say, yeah. I mean, after doing something like that, you're like, well, we could do this anywhere, couldn't we? So we did, let's see, the next two albums I made. So that would have been my Christmas album and my album called Photograph. We recorded in a little cabin on Gunflint Lake in northern Minnesota. And it was a cabin that I had spent some time in when I was younger, and it was made entirely of wood. So it made for a really nice recording space. And we brought our engineer friend who came with us to South Africa. His name's Chris Hobson. And he brought his recording equipment from Southern California. Ooh. And he had
That's a true friend.
That is a true friend. Yes.
I could sense his anxiety when he first arrived. Like, did my stuff get here? And it did. It all arrived safely. And so we just set up in there for a couple weeks. And my mom came and we also stayed in the cabin next door that belonged to my uncle. And we just holed away for 2 weeks in this in these cabins. And my mom cooked for us. And it was just really amazing. So it was, we kind of recreated that on location experience where we're all together and just making music all day. And it worked well. Those two albums to me have a really special feeling to them. And we really enjoyed that time.
That sounds really amazing.
Like, it was really fun.
Going to a cabin, making music, having people cook for you.
Yeah.
That sounds excellent.
Excellent. Was it snowing? Was there a fire in the fireplace?
Yeah, all the vibes.
Yeah, actually, what's funny about it is we had to record the Christmas album in August.
Yeah, of course.
You know?
Right.
But it was the end of August, and it actually did snow up there, because it's like Canada, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got a little few snow flurries, and we had a few fires in the stove, so... It was the perfect environment for what we were trying to achieve.
That is amazing. Mm-hmm. We're talking with singer, songwriter, and recording artist Aaron Bodie at the LCMS Synodical Convention in Phoenix, Arizona. We need to take a quick break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Gulseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
No angels, no demons, no present, no future can take me away from you, Lord. For no mountains, no valleys, no living, no dying can take me away from you, Lord.
At Concordia University Irvine, you have the freedom to explore your future and your faith. Across over 60 on-campus and online programs, you'll experience Christian education that's uniquely designed to develop the whole person, to prepare you not just for your career, but for all of your callings in life. Here you'll explore life's toughest questions, gain lifelong skills, and make relationships that last a lifetime. Concordia University Irvine. Learn more at cui.edu.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Gulseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with Aaron Bodie, singer-songwriter and recording artist at the LCMS Synodical Convention in Phoenix, Arizona. And you have a concert here for us, which we are all very excited about, and a new release called Sounds of Mercy that has come out with the Temba School, the boys at the Temba School. So tell us about this new release from you.
Well, it's very exciting because we're sort of coming full circle. We're completing something that we started a long time ago. And so it's a really nice feeling to get to finally share some of this music with everybody. And so it's sort of a sequel to the first album where we worked with the girls. We recorded with the boys about 2 years later. And so we've collected a few of the songs from that trip, and you'll be able to listen to them on the streaming platforms.
Yeah.
Yes. We'll share a link with the program, in the program notes today as well. So if you get the podcast or visit the KFUO website, we'll share the link to that and you can find all the pieces. There are several tracks in this. And tell us about this. So there are music tracks, but there are also some readings in between as well from President Harrison. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah. I think he wanted to kind of discuss some of the work intention behind some of the work that's going on right now for Mercy. Mm-hmm. And so he had spoken with Issues, Etc. I don't remember when it was. It was a while back. But he said some very important things. And so these are being shared, interspersed with the songs.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about some of the songs in this, this special release.
Yeah. So these are, it's a combination of songs that just feature the boys themselves, and as well as my group kind of collaborating with the boys. And so we had come up with a few song snippets, like ideas to build songs on when we went over there. And so I had chosen some verses from the Psalms and from Romans 8, which is probably one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, and written some musical ideas to expound upon. And so we did that, with the boys. And so you'll hear one song that's called Romans. There's one that's called Rock and Fortress. And then we wrote, I collaborated as well just recently with a wonderful singer-songwriter from Southern California named Darren Razor. And he and I wrote a few little excerpts that go in between some of the boys' songs as well. And I'm just really pleased with the overall outcome of what we worked on and how we collaborated with the boys in this way.
So. Yeah. Tell us more about that collaboration, because you've just said that you went over there with snippets and ideas and pieces. So what was that process like then when you were there? That is a magical thing to me to think that you had ideas when you went there and then these things happened. Tell us about that process.
Yeah. So one thing that we did, I suppose, a little differently with the boys versus the girls is because we learned, you know, kind of how we could collaborate with this large group of singers and my band. And so we didn't write anything that we collaborated on with the girls because we were just getting to know the process with them. But the second time we went back, I thought, wouldn't it be cool to write some little pieces that the boys can sing with me on, and then we'll come back home and we'll kind of turn them into songs.
Okay.
And so that's what we did. We had a couple little, like I said, I based some music off of some of my favorite verses. And so we had them sing sort of harmony vocals or little group choral parts. And then we'd sing the text over that. And then when we came home, we added the instruments in a more, acoustically stable environment and some of the percussion and other instruments and things. And so then we had completed songs that featured the boys in the choir, but then were also, you know, original pieces. So that was pretty great.
That was cool.
A kind of a fun way to, expand upon what we had done with the first album as well. So
some of the pieces are in English. Some of the pieces are in other languages, I assume.
Zulu.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me about that, about working together and collaborating on pieces in English and in Zulu. And I see a couple of pieces in the special release that are in other languages. Track number 3, and I'm not going to attempt to pronounce it because I don't know Zulu.
Probably best not to.
So it starts with a U.
Yeah. Ujezuwami. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that piece.
Well, I have the lyrics translated from a very fine Zulu translator. I don't have them with me, but I know that it speaks of Jesus and his wonderful presence in our lives. So a lot of these are traditional gospel songs, traditional songs that they would sing all the time. And so we... there's one on there called Jordani, and it's talking about the Jordan River. And so that's one piece where Darren Racer and I, we wrote a little piece that sort of expounds upon what the song is talking about, but in English. Mm-hmm. So you get the Zulu presentation of that song, and then we have a little interlude of music, and then back to the main theme again. And so it was just kind of a fun way to be able to interact, collaborate in a way that you wouldn't get the opportunity in other environments to do.
And as Andy said, there's interspersed with President Harrison, his speaking. What was his involvement in these trips to the Tembo schools?
He was the impetus for these projects, and he he felt very strongly about helping the kids at the Tembo School. He was so impacted by their wonderful talent, but also their faith, and wanted to make as many people aware as possible about the good work that they were doing at Tembo. So it occurred to him that people hearing their voices would make a big impact. And I think he knew that people would want to help. And I do think he achieved that because I still have people come up to me to today, like to this, time now, which is 20 some years later after we went there the first time. And they tell me how much they love the Tembo album or that they were at the concert we did in St. Louis at the Sheldon. And just hearing that from people really means a lot to me because I think... it seemed like sort of a risk to undertake such a big kind of project with a large scope and trying to achieve kind of a lot of things with it, and to know that that people did respond to it and it made an impact on them. And it's not just people, that I know from church. It's everybody, people that I wouldn't expect who paid attention and listened to it and and it really means something to them now. That means a lot to me.
Yeah.
Now, having completed this project, reflecting on how this plays a role in, you know, our perception of mercy and how the Lord's work is done around the globe, what does it mean to you to get to have a part in that, and, you know, how we look at mercy work and caring for others around the globe?
Well, I think, you know, I knew when I think I said this in our last interview, but I knew that when I was talking to Pastor Harrison on the phone that very first time, I knew I would never be the same after getting to do this project. I hadn't been there yet. I hadn't even heard the recording that he was going to send me of their choirs. I just knew that this was something that would change my life and my perspective on music. And it absolutely did, beyond what I even could have anticipated. It just reprioritized for me what music is about and what collaborating with people using music does, and the communication that it provides, and the connection that you have, and how you can connect through your faith. And I just felt that music is a true gift, and it can serve primarily God, especially when we're singing and praising Him through music. But it also serves to connect us to each other and share our faith with each other. And I'm just really grateful for that. That's something that I'm very grateful that I've been able to be a part of this particular project.
Sounds of Mercy, a special release from Aaron Bodie and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You can find it on all the platforms. We'll share a link as well in our program notes today. Aaron, thank you so much for spending time with us here at the convention in Phoenix, and for your concert here at the convention as well, and your great work on Sounds of Mercy. Thanks so much for being our guest.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour is a production of KFUO. This program and our station are dependent on listeners just like you. To support KFUO Radio, our podcast, and all the other programming, please make your gift or pledge today at kfuo.org/give and help us continue sharing the good news of Christ for you anytime, anywhere. kfuo.org/give.